John 1:29-42. Jesus, the Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, 'A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I have been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John testified, "I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God." The first disciples. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to find his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. Then Andrew brought Simon to meet Jesus. Looking intently at Simon, Jesus said, "Your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas," which means Peter.
Thanks, yeah. I wonder what you would have done. It says in John 1:37, then John's two disciples turned and followed Jesus. John was called by God to prepare the way for Jesus. John did this, telling all that he was preparing the way for someone far greater than I am, for he existed long before I did. When John saw Jesus approaching, he declared Jesus to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And after John baptized Jesus, he testified that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. In John 1:35, it says that the following day, John was with two of his disciples when Jesus passed by. John pointed out Jesus to them, and they turned and followed Jesus. One of these men was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, and a commentator points out that Andrew obviously grasped at once the great significance of this encounter with Jesus, because he immediately went to find his brother and told him, "We have found the Messiah." As Graham told us last week, John the Baptist preached a form of fire and brimstone and had really expected to Jesus come and to minister in the same spirit. But this is not Jesus' way. I sort of feel for John, called by God to prepare the way, living in the wilderness, the desert of Judea, and generally viewed as a wild man, clothed in camel hair and eating locusts and honey. He initially struggled when Jesus came to him to be baptized. Then his realization that Jesus was not going to do things the way John had expected. And then two of his disciples walked away from him to follow Jesus. And we know how things ended for John. But despite all the difficulties and challenges he faced, John was called by God for a purpose, and this he accomplished. What would you have done as one of John's disciples? Stayed with John or followed Jesus? Follow the new, Jesus, or stay with John, the old, the familiar? Or perhaps understand that you've been called by God to remain with John or to follow Jesus, but whichever one, to follow in obedience. Sometimes we want to go off and do a new thing, when God actually wants us to remain where he's placed us. When the time comes for us to move, God will make that clear. Sometimes we want to stay in our familiar place and not have to move out of our comfort zone. But if God wants us to move, then his prompting will continue until we respond. Probably because our place of comfort has become rather uncomfortable, and so we simply have to respond. The key to our calling, whatever it may be, and whoever with, is to ensure we stay close to God and listen for his guiding voice. As Graham said, this is the second Sunday of Epiphany, and last week Graham explained that Epiphany is to do with revelation and the true understanding of who Jesus is and what he has to do with me, with us, and suggested that we reaffirm our baptismal vows, hear the voice of love of our Father, and allow his Spirit to work in us. If we spend time with God, really listen to his guiding voice, he will reveal to us not only increased understanding of who Jesus is and what he requires of us, but also if we allow his Spirit to work in us, to make clear what he is calling us to. In church and Christian circles, we acknowledge that our very first calling is when we commit to God by accepting Jesus as our Lord and Savior and seek to follow him. I've asked Susan and Frank to share with us a few words about the time that they were first called.
So I grew up going to church, been to church all my life. My dad is an ardent atheist. My mum took us to Sunday school because I think that was the done thing. That was what you did. You took your kids to Sunday school, you got them christened, you did all of that, and they'd grow up to be good people. And that's why we went to Sunday school. So we grew up to be good people. You know, you had to keep your clothes clean on the way there because you had to sit and look respectable and be good, essentially. So that was in Viewfield Church, actually, until I was 9 when we moved to Devon. And the church that we started going to there was a Methodist church. And my mum had always gone to church with us. We started going to this Methodist church because it had a good big Sunday school. But mum wasn't very comfortable there because quite a lot of people actually believed this stuff. And that, yeah, she wasn't too keen on that. So she stopped going after a while and we kept going to the Sunday school. I went completely of my own accord. She didn't make me go. I chose to go at that stage. And at that point, I would have said I was a Christian. I was choosing to go to Sunday school on my own. But Sunday schools at that age, certainly in the Church of Scotland and probably at the Methodist Church too, to a large extent there, told you the Bible stories, but they didn't really tell you what it was to be a Christian. So I thought I was a Christian because I went and I believed the stories, you know, all the classics. And then when I was probably about 13, I couldn't tell you the exact day, but there was a youth service on one night. I was kind of lower end of secondary school. There was a youth service and they were talking about actually having a relationship with Jesus, and that's what it meant to be a Christian. And I sat there going, oh, I'm not a Christian. Guess I'll become a Christian then. So I went home that night and I prayed and became a Christian that night, just at home on my own in my bed. And that was it.
Thanks, Susan. That's Fran.
Hi, guys. I stand before you in the presence of our Lord and you guys, a changed man completely from 26 years ago. 26 years ago, I wasn't the same person. My life was in turmoil. I was getting pulled everywhere and going in different directions. My marriage was breaking up. Well, I'd already broke up. And there's nowhere to turn. I'd already had a breakdown, landed in Bells Lake Hospital, and I was actually headed for another one. Until one night, I cried out. Always believed in Jesus Christ, always believed in God, but never felt close to him. And that particular night, I really called out to him for guidance and what to do next. But I didn't know if he heard them, if God heard me. But standing here now, and I look back at it, he did hear me. He did hear my voice. He did hear my cry. Because something amazing happened. 4th of July, about 2 p.m., standing outside the post office. I think a lot of people know about that. And something was telling me, or something, I was to go into the post office. Now, the post box was outside. I could have put the letter in there. But no, I was getting asked to go inside. And there was a young lady. I was uptight. I had one of my sons with us. That was all over the place. I had a white dog with a black patch. And this young lady turned around and spoke to the dog. I thought I was getting the click, but the dog got the click. And she knew, this particular lady knew what I was kind of going through. And we ended up going for a coffee next door to the Hard Rock Cafe. And it was so nice. She just seemed to understand what I was going through. And she gave me her name and her address. And later on that night, I went round and we sat for hours and spoke. But as the night grew, there was something about this lady so different. So, so different. There was, despite everything that was going on in her own life, she had time for me. And she understood what I was going through. And she was my good Samaritan because she took me under her wing. And as the days and the weeks moved on, I seen something in that lady that she was so calm, serene. No matter what was going on in her life, she always kept calm. I think you guess who I'm talking about. Lillian. She took me in and gave me a roof over my head. And we spoke for hours and hours and hours. Until one night I asked her if she was going in. She says, I'm going down to church, to the Bruce Memorial, to Mr. Craig. And she had become a Christian just a few months before that at Billy Graham. I never heard of Billy Graham, but she explained what had actually happened. So she was just a young Christian. And I started to ask questions. I wanted to know more about what the Lord was doing in her life and how could she be so calm and far beyond that. And I started to read the Bible. I started to go down to the Bush Memorial. And the more I learned about the Lord, the more I started to understand why he died for me. Because I thought, no, I was worth nothing. But God loved me. I'm thinking, how can they love me? I was a bad person. I did a lot of bad things. But he did. He did. And slowly but surely, things in my life were starting to change. Just subtle things. And September 25th, at Falkirk Town Hall was a Harvest Thanksgiving. And that is when God really touched me. I was shaking as I'm shaking in it, but my inside it was warm, a heat that I've never felt before. And all of a sudden, the stress, the pressure was lifted up. And I actually said to Lillian, what actually happened? My goodness, I've never seen her run so quick. Me got along with her, actually, to Mr. Craig. And they actually prayed for us right there and then. And that's when I became a Christian, 25th of September, 1981. And from then on, we studied the Bible. We spoke for hours at a time. And it was absolutely brilliant. And for the last 26 years, it's been an amazing journey. An amazing love that I've got somebody who didn't judge me, who accepted me for what I am through the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to give you a laugh. I met somebody who gave me the third degree. Remember Betty, when you first met me? You asked me what my intentions were. And I came away that night after cell group saying, I've just begun the third degree. But I hope I've lived up to your thing. But as I said, But the only one other person, my family started to see subtle changes. I got my self-respect back, got my self-esteem back, my shoulders were going back, I started to walk tall in the love of Christ, who has been there for me through everything, absolutely everything. And he's blessed our marriage. We're going to be celebrating 25 years this year. Long, and I pray that you'll continue to bless and strengthen our marriage as we walk this journey. It's an amazing journey. It's a loving journey. And my family start to see subtle changes. And they knew what was going on, but I couldn't tell them what actually happened to me because I don't think they would have understood. But there was one person in the family who could understand me, what I was going through with the Lord, and that was my grandmother, because she loved the Lord. We called her the boss, because she used to take over the services at the church in place of the man. And when I went and told her that I'd rededicated my life and accepted Lord Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, well, you thought she had won £1 million, because she was over the moon. And she actually sat down beside us and prayed. And that is basically it. It's an amazing journey. I look forward to it. I thank the Lord every day for that, for Lillian, because she's been a rock. I mean, Jesus is a rock spiritually and physically, but he gave me a rock that I can lean on, that she can help support me. And I thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Frank. My own testimony is that Jesus spoke to me, not audibly, and asked me, "But what about me, Sheena?" I was 17 and deeply troubled and bemoaning my situation, when Jesus spoke right into it and challenged me to look to him instead of my problems. Having known for all my life that God was real, I think I responded in a rather offhand manner by saying something along the lines of, "Well, of course I believe in you." It took me a very long time to fully understand the amazing implications of Jesus' question and my response. A long, challenging, and brilliant journey has followed, and it's still underway. A wonderful thing is we are called by God, but it is by our calling on Jesus' name that we become his. One of the other lectionary readings for today is 1 Corinthians 1, 1-9, and verse 2 says, "You who have been called by God to be his own holy people, he made you holy by means of Christ Jesus, just as he did all Christians everywhere, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and theirs." And the final reading for today in Isaiah 49, 1-7, we're told in verse 1, "The Lord called me before my birth. From within the womb he called me by name." And in verse 7, "He, the faithful Lord, the Holy One of Israel, chooses you." Called has many definitions, but one that strongly applies to the Christian walk is to order or request to undertake a particular activity or work, to summon. And in the passage from 1 Corinthians, we're told that we will be given all the gifts and strength that we will require to carry out his calling on our lives. And the calling on our lives will be different for each one of us. As our testimonies of how we came to faith are different, so our walk, ministries, and ongoing testimonies will be different. In Haggai 2:23, it says, "I will make you my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord." In ancient times, a signet ring was used as a means of identification. Instead of signing their name, people would press their ring into hot wax or soft clay to make their mark. As God's children, we too make a mark on the world as we spread the gospel, share his grace through our loving our neighbours, and work to end oppression, Each of us has our own unique stamp that reveals how we're created in God's image and expresses our particular mix of gifts, passions, and wisdom. It's our call and privilege to act as this signet ring in God's world. So we're called to follow Jesus, but that calling is simply the beginning. And called to what? The psalm that Stuart read for us, Psalm 40, says in verse 10, I have not kept this good news hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. So we're called to speak the good news. However, not all of us are evangelists in the manner of those who are equipped to very directly ask people if they know and follow Jesus. But we're all capable of preaching the gospel in our own individual ways. We know that some of our brothers and sisters get alongside people on the bus, in shops, anywhere and everywhere, and are soon able to introduce Jesus into the conversation. We know that some of us get alongside people by helping them, and when asked what motivates us, can share that it is God's love. We know that some of us demonstrate that we belong to God by trying to live each day in a way that pleases him, and in so doing live our lives in a different way, which we hope will cause others to ask questions. We will all share the good news in different ways, tailored by God to the way that suits us best. And all of us demonstrate in different ways that we belong to him. And if challenged, we will proclaim our love and commitment to Jesus and the good news that he brings. But perhaps it is worth challenging ourselves. Am I speaking the good news as often as I can? Does my life demonstrate a life that has heard and has responded to the good news? As always, I speak to myself here. If our coming to faith is our first calling, and if a key element of this calling is to share the good news, is that it? Or are we called to other things? I think we'd all agree that we have all have callings to various responsibilities, roles, and ministries. Above all, we're called to serve God and to serve others. Oswald Chambers says, one man or woman called to God is worth 100 who have elected to work for God. So we can be called to serve in many ways. We can be called to full-time Christian service, like Graham, as well as a prison chaplain and pastor here. Michelle, who was with us last week, Marissa, Josh and Ali as missionaries. We're called to worship. We're called to prayer. We're called into a deeper relationship with Jesus. We're called to read and meditate on the Word of God. We're called to stand up for those who cannot stand up for themselves. We're called to love. We are called to speak and act in truth and justice. We are called to feed the hungry. We are called to give water to those who thirst. We are called to forgive. We're called to clothe those who have no covering. We're called to shelter those who have no home. We're called to minister to the rich, the poor, the lovely, and the unlovely. What a privilege to be called to serve God. If we look at all the ways we're called, we may feel a little overwhelmed, but we are promised that God will, as it said in 1 Corinthians 1, provide us with all the strength, knowledge, and gifting that we require. And as we open ourselves to him, he teaches us and leads us, and we find that as we allow him to have his way with us, things that may have seemed initially difficult prove to be perfectly possible when we do them in his strength. I know that we have all done things that we would never have thought possible, things out of our comfort zone, things that we've not been trained for, things we would never, ever have believed that we could and would ever do. In John 1, 40, 42, Jesus calls his first disciples. They could have had no idea of where this would lead them, of the glorious moments that they would experience in the future, nor of the dark despair they would feel at other times. They must surely have felt some trepidation as they left their families, homes, and jobs to follow this rabbi. But they recognized in Jesus the Messiah, and so would also have felt eager to enter this new life adventure. And the same is true for us. Whilst we recognize the challenge of being called to follow Jesus in any and every way that this means, we also recognize the sheer joy of belonging to him, called to serve, a privilege. So what are you being called to? Do you know what God is calling you to do for him? Do you know the ways that you're being called to serve? We may think that we're already doing it, but as I said, our response to God's call is just the beginning. You may feel that what we're doing right now is it, but God keeps on calling us into new things. He will call us ever onward, ever closer, and it's up to us to respond. Perhaps some folk feel they might benefit from prayer regarding this, so please ask someone to pray with you if there's time after the service, if not at cell group on Wednesday. I don't know about you, but I'm excited to know what else God has planned for me. So in this new year, let's embrace his call on our lives and ask him what he desires of us and be eager to obey. Let's live our calling in fullness and let our service to him be fruitful and a display of Jesus and his kingdom, and that ultimately all the glory may belong to God.